Evolving Church of Science. A fellow mostly hairless ape trying to understand things. And this is Season 5, Episode 2. I'm to broadcasting on December 12th. Oh, and we're moving into strange territory. I titled this episode Hunger, because I wanted to get into that whole idea of consciousness and information theory that I've been talking about. And the idea that how do we make decisions about stuff? And why are we making the decisions that we've made? You and I might both be wrestling with that idea of how did the orange parasite get elected? And there's been all sorts of interesting news lately. I don't know, the United Healthcare CEO shooting was on there. Also saw Juan Soto's contract and a variety of other things that I wanted to talk about. Get to do a little sports here. But society in general, we have the idea of how we make decisions. We've been talking about artificial selection. And the math says that if free will exists, once again, we'll hop over the fence of determinism and not go down, break our ankle in that rabbit hole. And think about, can we make decisions that actually alter reality? And humans can do this, however we generate that neural circuit in our brain. But I think for it to be a reasonable, rational decision, it has to deal with the amount of information available. So whatever the brain does, it's dealing with information. It's coded patterns of matter and energy and space and time. We've assigned vocabulary to it. We think about stuff, but we also deal with visceral information. All of that wonderful bubbling up emotions and feelings, hungers and lusts, and all those fun things that are biologically functional, the things that have been driving natural selection for literally billions of years, well, probably just millions, hundreds of millions for animals. Multicellular animals have only been around for 600-700 million years. Vertebrates for about 500 million, mammals about 200 plus, primates somewhere 60 million years ago, hominids moving off towards us over the last few million years, and finally humans emerged. Wise thinking humans, Homo sapiens. And then once we had consciousness, we started doing this artificial selection thing. And we started thinking about this or that, making choices. And then we domesticated a lot of animals and we've taken over the planet. Pretty great. But I've always wrestled with the idea of how did you synchronize on the right side of the political aisle here in America, the red-hatted brigades that they are now is the day, uniform of the day, and how did uber capitalism get aligned with religiosity? And also the whole independence movements, the wilderness. I think the preppers are a branch of civilization that basically says, we want to minimize the rules of government. We want to be free. We want to get back to our hunter-gatherer roots. So there's those guys. I think it makes sense in terms of the three variables. So I've got my three variables for civilization. I've got belief systems, governments, and economies. Economies are how we distribute resources. Governments define the rules of how we behave. And belief systems are how we fill in the gaps in our knowledge. Because if I'm a wilderness guy and a gal, if I'm going to make my own way in the world, and I want to minimize my interactions with other people, then I guess I still have to know how to do a lot of stuff myself. I need to be a jack of all trades as much as possible. So I have to have knowledge about carpentry and electricity and cooking and hunting and gathering and farming and HVAC systems if I want those, and how to do computer systems. I need to have enough information to run that on my own if I'm not going to be in a bigger group, if I want to minimize my group. So there's that idea of small government, which those people are selecting for. Then there's the religiosity group. The religiosity group are the fundamentals. And these are the people who I've declared, I don't think, want to think too much. They want a nice big answer. They want to think, oh, we can just leave it up to the Lord. Thoughts and prayers. That gives us all those wonderful thoughts and prayers that we've had over the last few years. And then there's the uber capitalists who think, oh, they like the market economy, especially because they're on top of it. They're the people who've, the rich folks who said, oh, no, I want to make more money. And I was trying to link all these together, and I realized it's the idea of infinity, of no limits. That's the essence. Right there is the boundary, I think, between right and left. We all have hungers. We all have lusts. But do you put a boundary on them? Do you say, I can control those? Or do you just let them go? Do you just let those biological impulses reign free and do what you can to achieve those? If you're an uber capitalist, you agree that greed is good. You grab your buddy up with Gordon Gekko, if you know that reference, and you say, okay, I can make as much money as possible, and that's going to be a good thing. And if you're a prepper, wilderness, independent guy or gal, you don't think there's any limits to wilderness, any limits to resources that are out there, because we could all have our own space, and I'm going to take as much as I can and grab onto it while it's still available. Which is an interesting strategy, because the alternative is to share. And the religious people, they're hoping somebody else has the answers, because they are just overwhelmed. The people who are devout believers in a supreme being are hoping, they're offering up thoughts and prayers that those people have better answers. And they're going to try to extract information from their ancient texts and their old rituals and say, hey, this is what we should be doing. This is a standard, and these are our standards, and that's all we're going to follow. And the alternative is dealing with the limits. That's the issue. This idea of infinity. You know, obviously, the guy who shot the CEO of United Healthcare had somewhere in his brain the idea that they should have taken better care of him. From what I've picked up from the news, watching that news story the last few days, is that he had some issues, he had some health issues. They didn't resolve them for him. He didn't get all that he was taken care of, or he wasn't taken care of appropriately. And he eventually got frustrated enough that he decided to shoot the boss. Fragging, I guess is what they called it in Vietnam. But taking out the lead, and if the leadership is not there, how do you rebel against that? So he thought, hell with those rules. I'm just take this guy out. And that obviously offended the rich. Because you don't want to, if they're busy being greedy and making the most money possible, we don't want the masses to get upset about that. We don't want them to think that we're shortchanging them because we're there. And that's where health insurance comes into a really tricky economic status. Because we obviously have advanced medicine a lot in the last few years. And as we've advanced medicine to the point where we can cure all sorts of diseases, we got decent ideas about how to treat cancer. Cancer survival rates are way up if you have the resources. We have all sorts of great biological agents now that we can use and different treatments and surgeries and different procedures, but they all cost money. They take resources. And the resources are being spent on other things, like huge baseball players. I'm a Yankee fan. I grew up in Central Jersey and I picked up the Yankees from Dad, have that emotional link for fandom. And we were hoping for a while there, if you were in Yankee world, if you were a fan of the Bombers, that they would get to sign Juan Soto. But he signed with the crosstown rival Mets, horrors. And Juan Soto's contract, though, 15 years, $765 million, $51 million per year. He's only 26. He's an amazing athlete. But they'll be paying him when he's 39, $59 million. And there's a chance he'll still be playing a decent rate there. We've gotten sports medicine and training and nutrition issues have built up their knowledge there. He might still be quite a functional athlete at 39, so it might not be a bad deal if you think $51 million for a right fielder is worth it if you have those resources. What else could you do with $765 million? I can't think of anything. Oh. So there's all this, there are resources out there. But the people who've won the day in the elections here in the States and where we're going over the next 4 years, in this wonderful experiment we call civilization, they are building the idea that there need not be any limits. Just let the rich folks handle it. We're going to run the economy as best they can. They're going to throw us bread and circuses. We're all going to live on that. Now, if you were a member of the elite aristocracy, the economic elite who have taken over the planet, as far as I can tell, they're the ones running the show. And I think what really came out over the last few election cycles in the United States is that we like to think we have this democracy, but we realize there's this huge amount of money. There are the billions of dollars that were spent on the election for campaigning. Just ignoring all the issues of voting integrity, how good is all those computer systems. The idea that we don't have much say in the process is a pretty prevalent idea. I think if you sat down most Americans, and other people in other democracies might agree, but from my perspective in America, people would look at the political process and say, hey, why am I so hungry? Why am I so stressed? Why am I always dealing with problems? Because that's what we've selected for. We've selected for this marvelous civilization where the economic elites who've risen to the top of the pile realize that they've got an inordinate amount of resources. And the best thing they can do is keep shaking the system. Just keep shaking the system. Minimize regulation. Minimize stability. And harvest and, jump on the opportunities that arise for economic gain in a chaotic economy. I mean, that's the whole thing. If you think about investments, When, I don't know if you've had a chance. Most Americans don't even have retirement plans, so this is a weird one. But if you get up to that point in the economy where you actually have the ability to invest in something, what do you invest in? Then you talk to your guy or your gal or whoever they are that helps talk to you about your investments, and they say, are you young? Do you want to take some chances? Maybe go big risk, big reward? Do you want the long-term slow growth? And you invest your portfolio, you construct your portfolio appropriately because you want to be able to retire and have money. And so you want these markets to be stable. So you want some stability. But you don't want too much stability. I mean, it'd be nice to have a little excitement. And that's the line people draw. How much opportunity can I get? And that's where I think we screw up. I think that's where we're screwing up. Because I think if you bother to get on the left side of the aisle, on the blue side of the aisle, you would say, hey, it's okay to have stability. It's okay to have slow growth rates and have a little more control over the process. Because we don't know what's going to happen. We can predict things. That's part of the issue with climate change. People are saying, oh, we're disrupting the planet. But the people who are making lots of money from that just say, nah, it's not a problem. Or if it is, I'm not going to worry about it because it's too big to control. And that's the hunger issue, I think. If the economic elite don't want us to think about things, if they don't want too much thought in the process, if they want us to leave it up to them and just doing thoughts and prayers, that's where they merge with the religionists and the wilderness folks and the independents, because they say, you know what? Well, the system is too big. We can't control any of it. All you can do is grab what you can and try to have a decent life. And so we're going to minimize government. We're going to minimize stability and let you do whatever you can in life. And they've convinced enough people to think that that's a good idea. Because the religious people are hungry for knowledge. They don't know, but they believe. They believe in something. They're operating on that information that says there's some supreme deity who has designated them as saved because they believe, and they're totally counting on that deity to look out for them. Which on one level is amazingly pitiful in my opinion. Because if you think some magical deity is going to step down and save your ass in a situation, you know, there's definitely some placebo effects going on. If you think positively, I mean, definitely attitude ripples through the body. We can show that psychosomatically. There's placebo effects and nocebo effects, positive and negative psychological factors that influence our health and well-being. That's been shown numerous times. What's not been shown is that prayer has any effect. Actual prayer. Now, that's different than meditative states, calm, serenity, just relaxing, giving your body a chance to heal and reboot. That's a totally different question when we ask about how that works, because that's the issue from a biological perspective. When consciousness only works to do artificial selection when we've minimized the natural information that's filtering into our bodies. I mean, we all have to deal with what bubbles up from our guts and our muscles and our bones and our joints. And we say, oh, I feel pretty good today. I'm healthy. And also, from the outside world, from the environment, what are the rules that I'm working with? What are my resources? Do I have a nice, stable, secure, safe home that I could be sitting in, away from the weather and away from the threats of modern society and the great big world out there? And if I'm safe and secure and comfortable and healthy and rested, and then I can actually think about stuff. I can actually think about, like, to build my portfolio, to work on a problem at work, to become better at something, improve my professional skills, and then alter the world through those defined actions. That's what civilization should be shooting for, I think. But what do we have instead? We have a bunch of people who live paycheck to paycheck, who are scrambling every day, and the best they can do is say, well, I'm going to enjoy the moment. I'm going to take some intoxicants when I have the chance. I'm going to get to the weekend. I'm going to get through the day. And if you think about how we've structured American society, what's been selected for over the last, close to a century now, well, ever since we took over. When we took over after World War I, we became the dominant nation on the planet. And that was sort of by default. We were the last guy standing. We were the frickin' last guy standing. Everybody else was hungry and tired and blown up. And we said, we're going to be in charge. And everybody said, that would be great. This democracy idea is so better than all those kings and dictators that we had, that we fought about in World War I and World War II and the Cold War with those communist dictators. And we said, let's the capitalists run it. And that's the question that we've been fighting over for the last 40, 50 years, ever since the Soviet Union went down. And they became capitalists. Because the question was, do we want a democracy? Do we want people to make decisions? Or do we want a new aristocracy to make those decisions? The people who run the economy, the ones who distribute resources. And we've said, we're going to give billions of dollars. We're going to say it's okay that if somebody who comes up with a better marketing system like Google, that they can make billions of dollars a year. And they don't have to pay their employees benefits or health care or retirement. Or maybe they are doing that to a certain extent now, but only because people are bitching about it. And that's the whole point of democracy. You gotta raise your voice and say, hey, you gotta ask for something. Because the people who are on top, the economic elites who run society, are going to tell us that it's okay that we pay a right fielder $51 million a year. What would you do with that money? We can't do anything else with that money. It's my money. It's money flowing in because I own this monopoly organization, this circus of baseball that a lot of us like to watch. And we're going to be content with huge amounts of resources being allocated to these individuals. And until we step up to the plate and we say, no, there are limits. there are limits, because that's why people get hungry. People get hungry because we need resources. We need to distribute resources. We need to be safe and secure in order to have a rational society. But no, it's okay if people get, if people die, if there's crime, if there's chaos. Because as long as somebody's in charge and they're making the money, they own stuff. And that's where we're moving towards, I think. We're moving towards this situation where the bulk of the society, the bulk of the wealth, is going to be owned by an economic elite. And the rest of us are going to scramble for jobs, trying to get pennies off of those. And, you know, work on the gig economy. We're going to pick up whatever work we can and live paycheck to paycheck. Take whatever handouts they give us so that nobody's actually starving. You don't actually see those ads anymore with those starving children in third world, what used to be called third world countries. I didn't like to talk about that. We used to have the freedom of democracy and capitalism, and then we had communism, the second world, I presume. That's what I grew up with. Then we talked about the third world. Now it's the underdeveloped nations, the ones who are sort of left out. I was watching it. There was a show, if you get a chance to see it, The Day of the Jackal. It was just the opening episode. It's about an assassin, and assassins are our protagonist in this story. He gets paid, and they're offering him $100 million to take out a tech CEO who's going to reveal a software program that would reveal where all the money is on the planet. All those wonderful tax shelters like the Seychelles and the Caymans and Panama and Luxembourg and Switzerland, all those nations that basically exist as small little bankers for the economic elite, so they can squirrel away all the resources that they hide from the dysfunctional democracies, which are horribly inefficient. Democracy is a really great idea, but it's not nearly as efficient as a way to run civilization as an economy. Because people have to eat, you gotta have food. Hunger rises up really quickly. Most Americans probably don't even know hunger, but you know, most of us have probably rarely gone more than 24 hours without eating. But back to the Jackal, when they're talking about doing that, one of the evil rich people who's gonna say, "Oh, we should kill this guy," says, "You know, we could kill off half the people on the planet and nothing would change." Because there's so many people that are just scrambling to get by. And the rich aristocrats who've taken over the planet and who run our modern civilization operate on their own plane. They're on their own civilization. They only deal with maximal resources, and they get to play their games, and they get to manipulate their markets. And the rest of us just have to scramble for the scraps that fall off their table. And that's hunger. That's the hunger we all have. And they like that. They play it as, oh, we should compete. We should continue to compete. We should scramble about, we should worry about abortion. We should worry if some unborn child is born. But they do that while people go hungry and people die from guns. And they argue about these infants. And it's like, well, but wait a minute. Are you going to be the one who takes care of them for 20 years? That's not relevant. Oh, wait a minute, somebody's having sex with somebody else that is wrong according to some ancient book. We should worry about that. We should be all upset about that. Because somebody's actually having an orgasm and you're not. It's, they distract us all the time with these games, they throw out sports and they tell us to bet. You notice the huge uprise in betting lately. As it's excitement. Well, you don't have enough money? Gamble away what you have. Risk what you have. Because you're not going to get it from working. You're not going to get it from retirement plans. You're not going to get it from health insurance. None of that's going to contribute to your social stability. You might as well gamble and take a shot. And if not, fuck you. You're just going to have to deal with it. Oh, I mean, it all boils back to a really basic biological concept. There's this marvelous term in biology called homeostasis. And you don't see them anymore, those starving children in underdeveloped countries with the big swollen bellies. Why should somebody look so big when they're starving? Well, because at the point you see those, if you remember those pictures, if you've ever seen them, it's somebody who's really starving starts to cannibalize their own body. And as they cannibalize all their own body, they start eating their own proteins, and their tissues start to break down so they can just burn enough fuel to stay alive, to keep their heart pumping. They end up losing the ability to maintain stability. They're on the path to dying, they're starving, and what they're doing is they lose osmotic balance. We'll go into the dynamics of water and salt balance, but that's basically the thing that causes those swollen bellies. Because they're cannibalizing their own molecules, they don't have enough food to burn for fuel, they start eating their own body from inside, and it starts to break down, and it looks deformed, because it is. It's falling apart, and they're going to die. And we're all going to die eventually, but wouldn't you rather die fat and happy? That's what the rich people say. And wouldn't you like to be like us? Well, how are you going to get here? Well, we're not going to give you we're not going to support education. We're not going to support reasonable health care. We're not going to support retirement. We're going to grab as much as we can, and we're going to tell you that you should grab as much as you can. You should buy guns, because you might have to shoot somebody, because it's going to get crazy. And we don't care, because we're going to pay for bodyguards, and we're going to pay for private transportation and big homes that have walls and gates around them. And we're going to live our lives as best we can, and you guys should do that too. We're not going to help you. That's the message. You can be hungry. And we're going to pay enough mind to it to get away with what we want to do. But we're going to hide it. We're going to hide the money in all of those places. We're going to hide the money away, and we're not going to let you know that we have all these resources. And we're going to play this game where you're just going to have to get by on your own. And that's the civilization that the Red Hat Brigades want. They want you to be preppers, or they want you to pray all the time and be diluted with that opiate of the masses. Because they're too busy skimming every dime that they can get so they can play their game, so they can pay athletes to perform in their arenas. And we all get to watch the gladiatorial games and moving towards Squid Game, I guess. It's just a really sick, sad state of affairs when we don't have enough people who can think clearly enough to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe we should have some limits. Maybe we shouldn't all have people who go hungry. Maybe we should all put some limits on how much money somebody could have and how much money they can hide away and what a country can do for hiding some money away. Maybe we should have it out in the open and be honest. That would be a change. Yeah, but what are the odds of that happening? Nope, I hope you're not too hungry today. Hope you have a decent holiday season. And, yeah, keep scrambling, because that's what we're going to be doing for the next 4 years. That's as far as I can tell. That's where we are.